Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for stopping by. We've got a good show today. Did you ever think about what kind of a reaction Jesus got when he went around and performed miracles? Everybody was astonished, right? Well, yeah, they were astonished after he pulled off the miracle. But before that, as we're going to see today, people would even laugh at Jesus sometimes. And if you're frustrated because people are maybe belittling you for your faith or saying, you're not being realistic. Why do you have faith in God? Because he can't come through in this particular situation. If you get frustrated by that, I want you to know something. Jesus was even laughed at. That's right. And we're going to look at this today from Mark's Gospel. But I want to welcome you to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program every Monday through Friday. The program is available through Blog Talk Radio, but you can get it on through any of your traditional podcast outlets as well. I also want to remind you to subscribe to my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email devotional that comes direct to your inbox free of charge every day. To sign up for it, go to followingthetruth.com, click on the button, supply your email address, and that's all you need to do. You're going to be all set. So I hope you'll be able to sign up for that. I'm really excited to be able to do that. In addition to this show, it gives me a chance to connect with you every day, which is something that I really wanted to do for a long time. And now I have the time to do it. And through your generosity, that's why this program is back on the air after a 2.5 year break. And that's why I'm able to do the daily emails as well. It's because of your financial generosity. You're helping me to keep my full-time ministry going. So I want to thank you for that. And I think together we can help each other when it gets difficult in life. We need that encouragement. We need that reminder that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we go through this Bible passage today, it's a great story. We're going to be reminded of the fact that even Jesus was criticized when he was about to perform his miracles. I don't want you to lose hope. I don't want you to get frustrated. I don't want you to stop praying. I don't want you to stop sharing the good news, because people need to hear the good news right now. People need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is still with us. He is still performing miracles. He is still in control. And we need to invite people to welcome Jesus into their lives, right? So we don't want to get frustrated. So we're going to look at this story in the program today. But as we do at the beginning of every show, let's do the most important thing that I do on this program. Let's turn to Jesus today. We're going to turn to Jesus and ask him to help us, to send his Spirit, to give me the words, to open our hearts so that we can hear his words and be ready to put them into practice. So please join me as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we welcome you today. We recognize that we are in your presence right now. You are with us, even though we can't see you with our eyes. We're going to just take a moment to recognize that you are listening to my words right now, that you can see us, that you want to help us, that you don't want us to go through life alone, that you want us to do what we can, but at the same time, turn to you for your assistance, to help with the difficult problems of life. Jesus, we present to you all of our own personal needs today, fears, concerns, anxieties, shortcomings, the inability to stop sinning, whatever it is, Lord, we give it all to you. We ask for help because we know that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we pray for an end to the coronavirus today, a swift, immediate end to the virus. We pray for relief for all those who are suffering today from COVID-19, those who are suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, or financially. We pray, Lord, for your complete healing. And as we saw so many times in the Acts of the Apostles, great miracles were performed in your name. So today, Lord, in your name, we pray for those healings to take place. We pray, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit today on Following the Truth. Please give me the words that I'm supposed to use today, because I know you have a message for us. Inspire me. Give me the words that I am supposed to say when it comes to this story that I'll be sharing from the Gospels today. And please open all of our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your message and to be willing to put your words into practice. Jesus, in your mighty name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I want to thank you for praying with me. You know what? It really is cool to get to hang out with you each day on this program. I'm glad that you come by. I'm glad that you're sharing the word. I was looking at the numbers yesterday. The listenership is doing well. We're getting more and more people each day, but I need your continued help. Let people know about this program, Following the Truth, 30 minutes every Monday through Friday. Also, spread the word about the daily email devotional, too, because the more help we get, the more scriptural help we get right now. And that's, if you notice, all of my messages, they're all rooted in sacred scripture because the Bible is the inspired word of God. So I want to make sure that you are hearing from the Lord, and I want to get the message out to as many people as possible. So you can help me. You can help me by sharing the news of this program, of the daily email newsletter, and my weekly program as well. The best place to send people is to my website, followingthetruth.com. And of course, if you have any questions about anything, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, so I said today we're going to talk about the idea that Jesus was, he wasn't necessarily accepted. I mean, we know he wasn't accepted, but many times he had to put up with amazing resistance to his message. And all Jesus was about was doing good things. He was healing the sick. He was preaching the good news. He was all about love, and yet he was met with so much criticism and resistance. And why is it that if you and me are part of the mystical body of Christ, the church, right, why should we expect anything other than resistance and pushback? We're going to get that a lot of times. But, you know, it's the easiest thing for us to do is to preach to the choir. The hardest thing for us to do is to do what Jesus did and go out and meet the people where they are. And that means people that may not accept him and may not necessarily be that open to receiving the message, or to be maybe open to us to a limited extent, right? But we got to push past that, not in an aggressive way, in a kind and loving way, not over the top, not nasty, but at the same time, sometimes you're going to have to say things such as, oh, I believe this will work out. I'm praying about it. I'll pray for you. And even that, certain people are going to get mad at. They're going to accuse us of being unrealistic or whatever. But we know that with Jesus, all things are possible. And we want to do that. We want to reach these people because Jesus wants to reach these people. There are a lot of hopeless people in the world right now. And you know, if he can do all things, we got to get that message of hope to them. So today I thought it would be a good idea to look at this story. It's a pretty lengthy story. It's one that I used to like to preach about when I'd go out and speak. It's the story of Jesus restoring a girl to life and healing a woman at the same time. So he's got two miracles going on here. And in the middle, he gets a lot of resistance. So let's take a look at this. It's from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And it all begins in verse 21. You might want to write that down or bookmark it so you can look at it later, because it's a really fantastic story. It's Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. And this, when the Lord will speak to us through this story, and I believe he will, because these are his words, this is the word of God. When he speaks to us today, take note of who is giving you the resistance in your life. You're trying to be positive and somebody else is coming up with all the negative reasons why your faith is not going to cut it and the Lord's not going to come through. You know, we have to work on this. We have to work on being patient with other people. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you can ask the Spirit to help you. And also for the wisdom necessary, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom necessary to be able to present these messages in an appealing and attractive manner, so that people can hear what the Lord's saying through his word, through your actions, through your words, and be able to grow closer to him, or at least give him a chance, because so many people don't even know it's possible to have a relationship with Jesus. And it's up to you and me to make that a reality for them, to let them know that Christ is real and he wants to be a part of our lives, right? So that's what our job is. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Okay, it starts out this way. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. So one thing you could see in the Gospels is that people were attracted to Jesus. They were interested in him. They didn't always want to hear what he had to say or agree with him necessarily, but he did attract the attention of the people. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and begged him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. So we're going to pause here and just look at what's happening. Jairus is one of the rulers of a synagogue. So he's a bigwig. This guy's a big shot. But if you notice what happened, his daughter is dying. She's at the point of death. He's desperate. And he begged Jesus. He begged Jesus and he fell at his feet. Now, this is a sign of great humility. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, when we pray, do we humble ourselves this way? Do we kneel down? You know, you don't have to do it physically, but do we kneel down at least mentally? Do we bow down before Jesus, recognizing he is all powerful, recognizing he is our Lord and Savior, and really beg him for what we need? Or do we just come right at him and more or less tell him what he needs to do for us? Look, we're all guilty of that at times, but it's just something to think about. How are we asking Jesus for what we need? Are we as humble as this guy? And look, he's doing it publicly. A ruler of the synagogue approaching Jesus, falling at his feet and begging him. That is not coming from a position of pride. This is coming from a position of absolute humility. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He knew that his daughter was sick and he believed that Jesus could help him. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe Jesus can help you with whatever it is that you're worried about today? Do you really believe it? All right, if so, I want you to remember the way this guy prayed. Complete humility, laying flat in front of Jesus at his feet, begging and pleading with him, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And Jesus went with him. And this is another point we can take from this story. If we ask Jesus for something, he is not going to turn a deaf ear to us. He's not going to ignore us. He will listen. He has compassion. He has pity for the people. We see this over and over in the Bible. He has pity for us. He does not want us to suffer. Oh, yes, sometimes some suffering is necessary, but suffering with peace is different than just suffering aimlessly. Jesus wants to bring meaning to our suffering. He wants to comfort us in our suffering. He wants to accompany us with us. He wants to accompany us in our suffering, I should say. He's not going to desert us. But the question is, are we asking him humbly and expectantly? This guy obviously expected Jesus to be able to answer his request. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done something like this in such a public way. So he goes with Jesus, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So the people want to see what Jesus is going to do. And there was, and this is what I like about this, because now we see a little subplot developing here. As Jesus is going to tend to the man's little daughter who is ill, there suddenly was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, a couple of things here. This woman has this blood flow thing going for 12 years. That means she is an outcast. She's unclean. She's separated from the people. By the Mosaic law, she was declared unclean. People would not associate it with her. So try to put yourself in her place. She's suffering from this for 12 years, right? Under many different physicians, spent all that she had. And not only did she not get better, she actually grew worse. Now, I don't know if I could imagine somebody despairing more than this woman, but can you imagine what kind of a position she must have been in mentally? So whatever you're suffering from today, whatever you got going on, try to compare yourself to this woman. And it doesn't get much worse than this. But listen to what happens. She had heard the reports about Jesus, just like you and I have heard the reports about Jesus. We've heard what Jesus did. We've read the miracles. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know some of these miracles. You know them by heart. But when you face a crisis in your own life, right, do you think to approach Jesus in the way that the ruler of the synagogue did or that this woman did. Now, how did this woman approach him? Well, she had heard the reports about Jesus, and what did she do? She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Why did she do that? For she said, if I touch even his garments, I shall be made well. Now, you talk about, again, she's unclean. She is an outcast. Nobody wants to deal with her. So she goes up behind Jesus. She doesn't even want to approach him face to face. In complete and absolute total humility, like the ruler of the head of the synagogue too. The same way, absolute humility, coming up behind Jesus and believing that all she needs to do is touch his garment and she's going to be healed. How's your faith, right? I mean, we look at this and we say, my faith doesn't stack up. It doesn't compare to the faith of this woman or even the synagogue ruler. I'll be the first to tell you, I hear these stories and I think, yeah, my faith isn't that strong. My faith isn't that strong. But how does our faith grow? Our faith grows mainly through exercising it. The more chance you give the Lord to perform those miracles in your life, the more your faith will grow. That's how faith grows. It grows by using it. It's a muscle. You know, you go and work out at the gym. You use your muscles. The more you use your muscles, the more they grow. Faith works the same way. Faith is a gift, but faith needs to be exercised. We need to make an act of faith. How do we make an act of faith? We give the Lord a chance to perform a miracle in our lives. Now, both of these situations were pretty grim, weren't they? What are you looking at in your life that's equally as grim? Are you willing to give the Lord a chance to perform that miracle? Because when he does, and again, you don't know exactly how he's going to answer your prayer. I can tell you he is going to answer it, but I don't know when and how. But if he does come through with an amazing miracle, and I've seen them in my life, I bet you have too, when that happens, when he answers, when you thought all hope was lost and he comes through, that is how your faith grows. So she touches Jesus from behind, right? And what happened? Verse 29, immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling. All right, you see that humility there? Fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." He not only heals her, what does he say? He says, "Go in peace." It's a common message of Jesus. He wants to give us his peace if we touch the hem of his garment. Just touch him from behind, you know, but in humility, expecting, or first acknowledging that he's Lord, he's Savior, he's divine. He's not just some guy on the street. You know, we have to have that awe for approaching Jesus, but at the same time, recognizing how much he loves us and his compassion. Because check out what the disciples said. When he turned around and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said, "Look, there's tons of people. The crowd's around you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus knows. He knows each one of us individually. And I think that's an important point for us to remember. He knows you individually. I don't care how many gazillion people are touching him. You touch him. You turn to Jesus. He knows you. And he's waiting for you today. He knows you by name. I mean, that's a really cool concept. And that's one that I think we all could stand to better understand. And then he heals her just like that. No drawn out process. She touches him. He heals her immediately. And then he gives her the gift of peace. Now, so that's this little subplot that we get. Now, remember, poor Jairus is standing there waiting for Jesus to heal his daughter. And there's this delay. She's at the point of death. She's at the point of death. Jesus goes, and we don't know how fast he's moving. And now He stops to heal this woman. Here's another point for us to remember. Jesus is not in a hurry. This drives me crazy, and I'm sure it might drive you crazy. He is not in a hurry. Why? Because he doesn't have to be. He knows he can do what he wants when he wants to. Just like at Cana, when the wine was gone, he was able to create new wine, right? He didn't have to say, all right, Mom, you should have told me about this before the wine ran out. I could have done something because there was some wine left. But no, the wine was gone. When his mother informed him the wine was gone, it wasn't too late. So this is a takeaway for you today. It's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for you to turn to him with your problem. It's never too late for you to turn to him with your sin that you just can't seem to get over. It's never too late to give your life to Jesus, to surrender to him. Never too late. It is never too late. It might be late in the eyes of the world, but it is never too late when it comes to Jesus. So while he was still speaking, they came from the ruler's house, some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Isn't that great? The naysayers, you're going to have those people in your life, the doom and gloom people, the people say, oh yeah, why bother to pray now? It's too late. This is too far gone. There is no way. Those people were around 2,000 years ago, and they are around today. Well, how does Jesus handle this? Well, I'll tell you how he handles it. He handles it the same way you and I should handle it when people try to put you down for your faith. And again, expect it. You know, you go out, you share the gospel with people, you try to be hopeful, you try to remain optimistic, you're going to get people who will criticize you. So the people are telling him, well, why trouble him anymore that your daughter's dead? It's hopeless, right? It's hopeless. This coronavirus pandemic, it's hopeless. Your financial situation, hopeless. Your relationship problem, hopeless. You hear this all the time. What does Jesus do? But ignoring what they said. Did you hear that? But ignoring what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, something he says to each one of us today as well, do not fear, only believe. That was his message to Jairus, the father of this daughter, who was just reported as being dead. Jesus ignored the people. Why? Because you're not going to fight with them. You're not going to win people over with your words. So don't try. When somebody's not going to believe you when you try to have faith, when you try to be hopeful, when you try to be optimistic, don't argue with them. Just say, I don't know. I'm going to keep praying. That's what Jesus did. He ignored the people, and then he told Jairus, who was probably panicking big time at this point. We don't know for sure, but he had a reason to be. Do not fear, only believe. That's a message for us today. When it comes to this pandemic and quarantine and who knows when the world's going to return to normal, will I be stuck in my house for the rest of my life? You know that feeling, right? Jesus says to us, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. You know, sometimes Jesus had to be tough with the people. And that's what's happening here. He took charge. He was very much in control. And when they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people wailing and weeping loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why do you make such a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, what kind of reaction do you think that Jesus got when he said that to them? I mean, they know this girl is dead. They're not stupid. They know what dead is like. And Jesus comes in and say, why are you making such a fuss? She's not dead, but sleeping. Verse 40 says this, and they laughed at him. Amazing, right? They laughed at Jesus. So again, they laugh at him. They're going to laugh at you as well. But Jesus put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately, that word, I love that word. Mark uses that a lot in his gospels. Immediately the girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And immediately, there it is again, they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. I love that little detail. That just goes to show you how real this story was. The fact that she was 12 years old, the fact that she was told, they were told to give her something to eat. This really happened. This was a real, honest-to-goodness miracle performed by Jesus, even though the people laughed at him. But again, he ignored their criticism. He put them all outside, and that, again, shows you he is taking control, and he went on to heal this little girl. So here's what we all need to remember today. No matter what we are facing, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hopeless it is, no matter how dark the future looks, Jesus Christ can perform a miracle. And Scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he did it then. That means he can do it now. Do you believe? Well, continue to pray for the ability to believe. Ask the Holy Spirit to intervene, to help you out, to help you believe. And one way that you can put this into practice, I talked about making an act of faith or testing your faith or exercising your faith, is to take whatever problem you have today, that hopeless situation that's keeping you up at night, and laying it at the feet of Jesus and saying, Jesus, please fix this. And then, you know, give him, say, but according to your will be done, and according to your time frame, but I'm giving this to you, Lord, because I believe you can do it. Challenge him. That's a good challenge. And you're going to see your faith will grow. Ask him to help you believe more, too. You can also pray for an increase in faith. But look, just because somebody's laughing at you, just because somebody's putting you down, just because you hear on the news that science isn't going to, prayer isn't going to fix this coronavirus, that only science will, understand that ultimately the only way we're coming out of this is with God's help. He'll guide the scientists. He'll guide the doctors. He'll perform the miracle if necessary, but that's the only way we're getting out of this. And with him, all things are possible. So don't give up hope, okay? Guess what? We're just about out of time. This was fun today. Again, go back and read that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, this amazing story of Jesus performing a double miracle and people laughing at him. Wow, what a story. Hey, I hope you'll be able to join me tomorrow on Following the Truth. Remember, don't forget the daily email devotional. Check it out. Sign up today at followingthetruth.com. Let your friends know about this show. Let me know if you have any questions. Email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful day. Remember, never give up hope, because with God, what? All things are possible. See ya.